So it's very obvious his brother recognized that Chip was intentionally misleading him. He's intentionally not answering his questions. And that's the same as lying. When you know the question somebody's really asking you, and you give an answer, dances around that avoids the answer you know they want from you, a simple yes or no. That is the same as lying in God's eyes. There's no difference if you walked up and said, "No, I don't believe that," when you know you do. There's no difference. He was lying. And one of his whole problems in the situation was obviously these people didn't have very much discernment. Okay? But the deeper problem was no one really knew Chip Brogdon. Okay? They only knew Chip Brogdon's reputation. They only knew what he had written in his articles. Everyone just assumed that he was actually living the life he was writing about. They just assumed that because he was preaching about death to self and about giving Christ the first place in our lives and about being humble and broken, he was actually walking those things. Based on his teachings, Chip Brogdon has a reputation. Based on his teachings, he has a reputation for being humble and teachable. Based on his teachings, no one would ever believe that he would intentionally mislead his brother who wrote him an answer, wrote him a simple question, just trying to find out the truth. However, those who have dealt with him personally have found out he's not walking the things he's teaching. And this is precisely why the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5:12, "And I beseech you, brethren, know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you." Know them. Don't just look at their doctrine. Don't just assume that you're walking in the truth they're talking about. Try and know them if you can. Now, it's impossible in forums like this, like Pal Talk. You don't know me unless you start writing me, emailing me, and calling me or whatever. You don't know me. All you know is what I say. All you know is how I act behind this mic. But, in a church situation, in a proper congregate situation, the thing is to know those who labor among you, because you can't hide. When you're living with somebody every day, walking with them all the time, you know what kind of person they're like. You know if they're walking the walk or they're just all talk. You see, and it's real easy to start a ministry, send out emails, send out newsletters, write books, get behind a mic, and talk all this great talk about dying to self and going on to Christ and all this stuff and not be walking in any of it. Not be walking in any of it. Now, when his brother questioned Chip's honesty in that letter, and he was saying, "Hey, Chip's not being very honest with me here, guys," one of the individuals who was defending Chip to the bitter end took him to task for accusing Chip of lying. I said, "Well, now first you're accusing Chip of peach, now you're accusing him of being lying, and you just said he doesn't believe in it." That was the attitude. So the fact is, though, Chip was lying. And it was a worship of the ministry. It was a worship of these people that have names and reputations. People are worshiping that. They're not worshiping God. They're not following God. They're not following Chip as Chip follows Christ. Like Paul said. Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And as soon as if you're doing that, then as soon as Paul gets off, you'll just keep on following Christ. You won't follow Paul. Well, Chip was saying, "Follow me as I follow Christ," but everybody's following Chip. And when he went off, most people went off with him. And the people who didn't go off with him are accused of being all kinds of things. So it's very important that we follow God and get a witness to our spirit. Follow our witness. Follow the scripture. Make sure what's being taught is scriptural. Make sure it's within line with what God's doing. Nothing wrong with that. That's right. But you got to go beyond that, because everything, for most of what Chip was teaching, was scriptural, except for the ultimate reconciliation thing. That thing was a leaven that's been working in his doctrine for many, many, many years. But otherwise, most of the rest of the stuff he was talking about was great. Die to self, put Christ first, everything else. Be humble, let God break you. All that stuff is right, scriptural, biblical, and what God's doing right now. Okay, problem was he wasn't walking in it. And he can't walk in it, and he never will walk in it, as long as he's under that you are demon. That's a spirit. That's a religious, seducing spirit. And all kinds of stuff in him that he'll never be able to get over until he gets free from that spirit. It's more than a doctrine. It's a demon-injected demon. Or he'll never be able to walk in the things he's preaching. But anyway, so this brother in here started questioning what Chip was saying. Right away, this person who's defending him from the very beginning to the bitter end, man, she just jumped all over him. He said, "Now you're calling him a liar. You don't have any right to do this. How do you have right to?" She wants irrefutable proof. She wants a ton of proof. She wants him to come out and admit it. Well, who's going to come out and admit they're wrong, especially if they're deceived and don't know they're wrong? Anyway, another brother, after all this is coming down to a close now, this is almost a week going, and most of the people in the room are starting to realize what he's teaching. They're starting to realize what that he is in there. This one brother said, he wrote and said, "I have noticed that in our Christian culture, our sympathies tend to be slanted more towards the false teacher or the wolf than for the poor, unsuspecting, torn sheep. I've read enough forums to know this is truth. People will say long prayers for the wolves, yet they never show the slightest indignation or sympathy for those who lay bleeding and dying in the wake. And the ones who speak against those wolves are usually villainized. Things are so backwards out here." And brother, that brother encapsulated that pretty good. Things are so backwards out here. It's exactly what's going on. The first sympathy of all those people, except for one, was for Chip Brogdon. They didn't even think, "Hey, what if Chip is wrong? What if he is preaching that? Look at all the people he'll be destroying to follow him into that thing without knowing it. That wasn't even in their mind. The mind was, Chip Brogdon is a brother. Chip Brogdon is a minister. Chip Brogdon has a reputation. He's put out good words. And I ain't going to believe a thing anybody says about Chip Brogdon until somebody of equal reputation denounces him. And it provides irrefutable evidence that what he's doing is wrong. That's the attitude people have. That's the attitude people have in the churches. And that's the attitude we get out here, outside the system, if we're not careful. It's in the human nature. It's not an issue of whether you're in the church or out of the church. Whether you have two people you're fellowshipping with or 20 people you're fellowshipping with. It's what's inside the nature of man. It's one of our little buttons that Satan can push. You know, we have a bunch of self-destruct buttons in there. If we're not careful, we allow Satan to get in there and start pushing them. So things are really backward out here. Now, another brother who was not part of that room, that forum, who read my letter on my website, sent an email out and sent one to me. And this is what he said. He said, I cannot convey how saddened and shocked and disheartened my wife and I were when I read this letter just a few moments ago. Talk about my letter, my open letter to Chip. We both recognized the same attitude in Chip that he had when I confronted him about his errors several years ago via email. He became accusatory, derogatory, and refused to look at anything he wrote as possibly being wrong. He was not humble or teachable and almost became abusive in his replies to me. I attempted to restore a brother who was heading a wrong way and refused to even consider the possibility that he could have been wrong. Okay? Rich Judy says he also wants to keep selling his book, of course, because he doesn't think he's wrong. So this brother here saying, hey, I'm putting this email for everybody to read. What Dan's saying is true. Not that I'm trying to make my case for myself or anything. I'm just trying to explain how this goes, not just with Chip, with all kinds of people. People worshiping all kinds of ministries, you know. And even if they're good ministries, you can't worship them. You've got to follow people as they follow Christ. You're actually following Christ, and you're suspecting everybody but Christ. And so when that guy goes off, or if he goes off, not everybody's going to go off, but if the guy that's ministering to you, if I would go off, you're not going to follow me. If I go off, I pray God nobody follows me. I pray they're all following Jesus enough so the spirit of discernment in them, the inner witness says, hey, this guy's going wacko, don't follow him. You know, drop out, goodbye. I pray that. I don't want people to follow me. If I fall, I lead people to hell. I mean, that's terrible. It's a terrible thing. Bad enough, we fall personally, or we might end up in some kind of bad situation with God, or even in the end lost. How much worse is it if you take hundreds of people with you, thousands of people with you? You know, because you're so proud, you can't be wrong. I mean, worship in your own ministry. Worship your own glory and ego. Anyway, what I want to say was Chip has been warned. He writes his emails like nobody's ever confronted him. Nobody's ever talked to him. We're all just going behind his back and saying things publicly about him without even talking to him and all that stuff. That's all a lie. That's a lie. He's lying and he knows it. People have been writing him. So the problem is not that Chip hasn't been warned. It's not that people have failed to, as they say, reach out to Chip, okay, and try and help him. The problem is Chip Brogdon is proud and unteachable. That's a fact. That's it. That's not my opinion. He's proved that, okay? Now, that's not being arrogant. That's not being rude. That's stating the fact. If somebody wants to pray for him, if somebody has a burden for him, if somebody wants to continue to write him, great. I think that'd be God. I'm sure God's not done with him. I'm not saying God's done with him. But you can't be afraid, look the situation in the face, and say what is. Hardly anybody going to this mic and say, Chip Brogdon has proven himself to be arrogant and unteachable. People won't just say that. They just won't say that. Even if they think it, they won't say it. You know, because they don't think it's Christian. They don't think it's God. They think it's unkind. It's not generous. It's the opposite of love. It's the opposite of charity. That's garbage, folks. We better start getting strong and let God put some iron in us in these days to come, or we're all going to go down with Chip Brogdon and the likes of Chip Brogdon. Like, God doesn't want us to walk around being rude and crude, obnoxious, and all that kind of stuff, living in the flesh. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about being able to, you know, in the world they say, call a spade a spade. Call a spade a spade in the spirit. Very few people can do that. Because they've been conditioned and they're afraid that that's derogatory, it's gossip, it's backbiting, it's not love, it's not charity, it's not Christian. And that's all a lie. And the people are caught in that thing. I'm guaranteed they're going to follow these people right into error when they go into error. If you're following somebody who's going into error and that's your mindset, you're toast. When they go into error, you're going with them. That's it. I'll always do it. It's a lie. It's been put out by the system to keep you in bondage, keep us in bondage to those leaders. The reason Chip Brogdon got deceived, you can see it in his doctrine. Let me see. I'm going to read this quote he said about me. Not because I'm trying to defend myself, because this shows how he got deceived. You want to know why and how Chip Brogdon got deceived? I'm going to show you how. One of those people in that forum sent Chip audios of mine. They sent Chip that. He listened to it. So when he wrote back to his brother his letter, what he said about me was, he focuses his remarks on the parts he doesn't understand in that book he's talking about and disagrees with. Why? Because he wants to magnify the devil and exaggerate the devil's power while minimizing and limiting the cross of Christ. He has more belief in the devil's power to deceive than in the Holy Spirit's power to reveal truth. And I dare say probably a lot of people that hear me talk or read my stuff might agree with him. They might think, Daniel, how come you talk about religious spirit so much? How come you talk about the spirit of Antichrist so much? How come you're telling everybody so dangerous and warning everybody and saying you better be careful, be careful, be careful, watch. Why are you doing that? How come you're not exalting Jesus? How come you're not saying, it's no problem. Just abide in Christ and you'll be okay. Just go to the cross, you'll be fine. These are things that takes time. You don't just go to the cross overnight. You don't just die yourself overnight. It takes time to die yourself. It takes time to go to the cross. It takes time to learn how to walk in victory. And while all that time is passing, you're vulnerable. We're vulnerable to the tactics of the enemy. The reason Chip got deceived is because a religious seducing spirit has been given a wrong doctrine of Christ and the cross and Satan, the relationship to Satan, for all these years. It's been slowly feeding this lie, that devil. Just worry about, just keep your eyes on Jesus. Just think about Jesus. Just talk about Jesus. And the devil can't touch you. And that's a lie. It stands in direct opposition to so many verses of the New Testament. Now, I warn people about Satan's power, not because I'm trying to exalt Satan's power. I'm trying to save people, God's people, from going into deception and end up with Satan for eternity. Okay? Because God's people are so ignorant. They're just so ignorant of just how dangerous the power of the enemy has become in these last days. And it's God's will to become that dangerous. God is giving this power. He says it in Daniel. He says it in Revelation. He says it in the gospel, in Paul's writings. God's going to give him that power. It's not like the devil's pulling one over on God or pulling one over on me or pulling one over on Jesus. God has put it in his word. And in the last days, he's going to increase, let Satan's power be increased so the mystery of iniquity will come to fullness. So the cup of iniquity will come to fullness. So all men can see what sin is and what following self does to people. Okay? And they're ignorant of the kind of power Satan has and the kind of danger they're in because they're listening to people like Chip Rogdon. They're listening to the kind of half-truths and errors these guys are putting out there. And they're not comparing the Bible. They're not looking around and saying, look, that doesn't jive with experience. That doesn't jive with life, friend. You know, I know many Christians who are sincere, older Christians. They should be, invulnerable by now. And they get kicked. They get down. Some of them come down and never come up again. They've gone down permanently. Some get tricked and they get down and get up, you know. But this whole idea of just keep your eyes on Jesus, to be in a secret place, just all these cliches people throwing out in their sermons and their writings. It's, first of all, it's not true because it takes time to do all that stuff. And while you're doing all that stuff, there's still a problem. And second of all, those people ain't walking in it, or else they wouldn't be saying that. If they knew what they were saying, they wouldn't be saying those things. Okay? If they knew what they're talking about, they wouldn't be saying that kind of stuff. I said all that to say this, especially regarding Jesus' temptation. We've got to start learning how to recognize and follow the inner witness of the Spirit in these days. Or we're going to end up just like Chip Rogdon and all the other people who are not so wild and woolly as Todd Bentley, who are not so far out as Todd Bentley, but who are just as wrong as Todd Bentley and just as dangerous as Todd Bentley. Chip Rogdon is just as dangerous as Todd Bentley. 90% of his doctrine is correct. 90% of Todd Bentley's doctrine is incorrect. But he's just as dangerous as Todd Bentley. So the thing I'm saying is, it's not good enough just to compare. The issue is no longer, is it true or not? I say this again and again and again and again and again. I don't know if anybody's getting it. You cannot look at things anymore and just say, is that true? If it's true, it's God. If it's not true, it's the devil. That is a childish, immature way of judging things. It no longer works in the atmosphere we're in. It does not work anymore. These spirits can speak the absolute truth, biblical truth, exactly what God's doing right now. What's the source? Whenever anybody tells me anything, whether it's a vision, whether it's a dream, whether it's a revelation you have, whatever it is, the first thing I do is go to God and say, God, give me a witness. What is the source of this thing? I don't care if it's true. I'm not looking whether it's true or false. I'm not looking whether it's, I do look if it's scriptural or not. I mean, of course, if it's not scriptural, I know off the bat I'm not going to pray about it, you know. But a lot of things I'm hearing are absolutely scriptural. I mean, it's no longer, most of the things I'm hearing, It's not scriptural. Most things I'm hearing are scriptural. Most things I'm hearing are false. They're right on what God's doing right now. So I'm going to God and say, hey, give me the witness inside, Lord. What's the source of this thing? Is it your spirit or is it another spirit, counterfeit? Is it your light or is it the counterfeit light? Okay. And it's very interesting. One of the moderators who started this whole thread, it was all over and everybody in the whole thing was convinced that Chip was wrong. And the woman who was really bashing Kathy and everything was being obnoxious and everything. She never did apologize. But anyway, the one guy that started this whole thing, it was very interesting because he didn't tell anybody this the whole time. He just put it out there at the very beginning and said, hey, guys, this woman says Chip's preaching universalism. Here's her website, you know, blah, blah, blah. And the whole thing went from there. And he didn't, I mean, he interacted a little bit, but he wasn't giving a lot of his opinion of Chip. But at the end, After everybody was convinced that Chip was doing this, was teaching his hair, he put up a little note. And what he shared that note was that he had never gotten a good witness to Chip Brogdon and his ministry. And he said he couldn't figure out why. He never understood why, because as far as he knew, everything Chip was saying was right on. Everything was scriptural. But he said whenever he read Chip's stuff, there was always some kind of nagging thing deep down inside his spirit that he could never comfortable with. He could never just throw in with Chip, get behind Chip. And when everybody was talking great about Chip and saying how wonderful Chip was and how wonderful his work was, he could never agree with that. He'd never go along with it. He said, just something in my spirit that would not release me to go along with that thing. And now, years later, bingo, he found out what it was. And he said he is so glad he followed. He didn't use his term. He said he's so glad he followed his inner witness because it turned out to be true. Now, he didn't use the word inner witness. I forget what exact word he used, but that's what it meant. He's so glad he followed his inner witness, not the crowd, who in the end were really following reputation and not the word of God. So I'm encouraging y'all tonight is, you know, we have an inner witness. Lots of people I've heard lately talk about how do you know you're saved. Okay, there's a discussion going on how you know you're saved because all these people think you're saved or not. And I think, I don't know if this came from Paul Washer or came from somebody else, but there's different rooms are saying this. I've heard people say it, and I think even Todd, the new guy, has a room Monday nights. Last time he was on, he was talking about how you know you're saved. You know, he was doing it. And what they all give is these, there's a list of things in 1 John and maybe somewhere else that give you evidences of what makes you know that you're a real Christian, how you know you're a Christian. If you're a real Christian, you'll have this, you'll do this, you'll be this. Okay, that's what John said, 1 John. And every time, it's been about half a dozen times now, I've been in somebody's room or on something where they were doing this. And every time without fail so far, nobody has ever mentioned the two scriptures that talk about the inner witness. There's one in Romans and there's one in, I think it's John, that we know that we have the Spirit of God because we witness with it. There's two scriptures about the inner witness. Nobody ever mentions them. I think it's because everybody's getting deceived is walk around saying, well, I get a witness, this is true. This is I just know the Lord told me this. How you know? Well, I just get a witness to it. And so the inner witness has been maligned. The inner witness has been knocked around and given a black name, given a black eye. And so nobody even hardly pays attention to the inner witness anymore. You know, they're just saying, well, the inner witness can be so wrong. All these people are walking around preaching the air, they're saying they have an inner witness of what they're saying is true and it's not. So we're just going to stick with the Bible. We're just going to stick with the Word. You know, and I'm telling you, that's not good enough in the days to come. It's in the Word. Exactly what's in the Word. And you're going to have to rely on more than just the Word. Now, you know, if somebody comes preaching something that's not the Word, you don't have to pray about that. Somebody comes to talk to me something about that I know is not in the Scripture or it's unscripture. I don't even pray about it. Forget it. Sorry. But this is not what's happening, what I'm finding. What I'm finding is what's coming to me is stuff that's scriptural. Not just scriptural, but things that I know that God's doing by revelation. And this same Spirit has the same revelation. It's very tricky. And so I encourage everybody, if you haven't been, I'm saying you haven't, I'm just saying if you haven't been, start asking God to sharpen that inner witness, which has to do with our discernment. Don't be afraid to discern. Don't be afraid to judge. Don't be afraid to call a spade a spade. When you come in somebody's presence or you hear something somebody's saying, it's not clicking in your spirit, you feel uncomfortable with it, don't just override and say, well, because they're a teacher or because I'm a Christian, I'm supposed to love them, or because you don't want to think bad of anybody. You know, Jesus always spoke positive. Whatever, all that garbage they put out there, don't let yourself get in that. God wants us to watch. God wants us to be watching all the time, be on guard, be on guard, be on guard. That's the only way we're going to survive this, what's coming. Let God get all that garbage out of our minds about this is what Christianity is. A Christian never does this. A Christian never does that. A Christian never raises his voice. A Christian will never, you know, all that stuff is just childish, immature viewpoint of what God is. You got to be able to judge. And you got to be able to have a little bit of healthy, godly, spirit-led suspicion whenever somebody's teaching anything. Because many people who are deceived don't have any idea they're deceived. They're totally convinced they're right. It's not like they're going around trying to deceive everybody. They're following Jesus. They think Jesus showed them something or Jesus taught them something or Jesus came and spoke something to them in a vision or came and spoke something to them in a dream or came in person and showed them something. They just accept it's Jesus. And they go out and spread that spirit, the words of that spirit, the doctrine of that spirit, all over creation. And if you're the kind of person who won't discern, won't look with a, you know, won't sleep with one eye open, you know, won't look with one eye, you know, and keep the other eye watching, 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 you're going to get deceived. And anybody tells you that's not God to walk like that has already deceived themselves. I intend to be on my guard and not lose my crown. No man is going to take my crown. No man. No preacher, no person in my family, no friend, nobody's going to take my crown. Okay? If I lose it, it'll be because of my own stupid self, because of my own stupid flesh, you know. I'm not going to follow anybody down the road to perdition, you know, because I'm afraid to judge. I'm afraid to look at him and say what is. That whole mindset was put in the church by the devil for such an hour as this. It was put there so when he comes in, when God gives him this power, all the people are ready and set to just fall like dominoes. They've been set up. For years and years and years, he's been set up. And he comes on the scene with all this new power he has, and boom, we're going down like flies. You know, that was all that stuff was meant for this time. So, just a little bit of warning there, you know, that as we grow, Satan's tactics grow. They become more like the truth. They become closer to the truth. They become more dangerous. Until we're in the resurrection, or until the Lord comes back, and that thing, and that devil's bound, you can't slack off. You can't coast. You can't rest. You can't stop watching. And Chip Brogdon is going to find out that his attitude, that looks like it's exalting Jesus, not giving any glory to the devil, actually putting the devil's hands. And the attitude that I'm talking about is going to save people from ending up deceived in the end. I was going to ask this question, but I thought maybe I'd bomb, but I will. If I came to you and said, look, I had a vision. Jesus came into my room, put his arm around me, and told me he loved me. Just told me how he loved me. He was very pleased with me. And then he left. Now, you know a little bit about me. You know sort of what I preach and what I teach. You don't know if I'm living or not, I guess. But you know at least where I stand on a lot of things. Well, how would you judge that vision? If I told you, if I came on tonight and said, hey, guys, Jesus came into my room last night. Bless God. Praise the Lord. Put his arm around me. And he told me he loved me. He told me he's pleased with me. And oh, man, did I ever feel great. Wow. You should all experience that. How would you judge that? What would you say? Irma would say garbage. Good for you, Irma. Well, I mean, what, how would you judge that, guys? I should be on meltdown. How do you know it was the Lord? That's right. How do you know it was the Lord? That's good. Good question. How do you know it was the Lord, Daniel? It looked like the Lord. It felt like the Lord. You know, it wasn't evil. It was great. I felt great coming in the room. How about this? When he came in, the holy fire came in the room. And I just felt like nothing. I just felt like I was nothing. And I cried and wept. Would that make any difference? How about if I said, when after that happened, I had this revelation of exactly what God is doing right now, as far as overcomers. He's making an overcomer of you. He wants you to walk in holiness. He wants you to take authority over the spirits. He don't want you to walk in any kind of self-dependence. He wants you to lose your self-dependence. How about if I said all those things on top of what I just said? And how about if everything I said was scriptural? How about if I talked for an hour and everything I said was scriptural? I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just telling you that's what we're dealing with. This is the kind of thing we're dealing with. Now, in the Acts, in the New Testament, Peter said, your old man will dream dreams. He was a young man for sea visits. Your old man will dream dreams. So I'm not a cessationist. I'm with Steve. I do not believe the gifts of spirit ceased in the Acts. You know, the gifts of spirit for now. People are still having visions. I have dreams. Hang on a second. Somebody says something. Let me read. Matthew 24:26. Stand fast says, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth, behold, he's in the secret chambers, believe it not. Okay. Well, I'm not, okay, I understand, that's good, that's all right. But, I mean, I have dreams. Well, let me tell you my dreams about. Whenever God speaks to me in a dream, first of all, when I wake up, I know God's spoken to me. About 95% of the time, I know that I know it was God. I don't always know what it is right away, but I know it was God. Okay, there's no doubt in my mind. But, all the time, whenever I have dreams, God's speaking to me through a dream. It's always at a personal situation, always about a personal situation in my life. God's warning me about somebody or somebody I'm involved with or something I'm getting involved with, some direction I'm going wrong. It's about me. It's a warning to me. God has never given me doctrine in my dreams. He's never come to me in my dreams and said, I love you, Dan. I'm so pleased with you. I don't believe God does that to anybody. I don't say he doesn't love us. I don't say he isn't pleased with us. I'm saying he knows we can't handle that. Jesus knows that we could not handle him coming to us, telling us he's pleased with us. Our pride and our ego would go berserk, even if we didn't want to. So Jesus never comes to me in my dreams. The Apostle Paul never comes to me in my dreams. Angels never come to me in my dreams and give me doctrine, give me revelation, tell me what's going to happen in the future, give me a message for the church, okay? I suspect all those kind of things when they're coming from somebody. I don't suspect a vision or a dream that's personal for you, that God's warning you of something, trying to direct your personal life, okay? That's different. But when you get dreams and visions and supernatural experiences that are giving you doctrine, I don't care if it's true doctrine or not, or telling you what's going on in the future, what's going to happen in the church, what's going on in the future, you better suspect them, because I'm telling you the holy place is being defiled right now. That's what Jesus was talking about in Matthew. He wasn't talking about the temple, the real literal temple. He's talking about the holy place realm, the gifts of spirit realm. And we're the people. We are the people who are in danger of that thing. Not the fundamentalists, not the cessationists. The cessationists who live by the dead letter of the word. The cessationists who can only read the word, that's all they get. They don't even follow the Spirit. They don't even acknowledge the Spirit of God in that sense. It's the Pentecostals, the charismatics, the people who are going after the deeper things of God, the people who are open to the supernatural, who are open to dreams and visions, who know they can be of God, who haven't rejected the supernatural. We're the ones who are in trouble right now. We're the ones who are in the most danger right now, because we're the ones that thing is attacking. It's attacking that realm. It's attacking the holy place realm, which is around the supernatural, the realm of the gifts of the Spirit. And it's defiling that realm. And I'll tell you, right now, I am so skeptical of it. I have to go pray and pray and pray to the Lord. You're going to tell me, because right now my tendency is just to reject it right offhand. I don't want to do that. So I go to the Lord, listen to it. That's my stand right now. Not because I don't believe the supernatural, but because God showed me years ago, 10 years ago, that the holy place realm was going to be defiled. And now I'm seeing it and before my really eyes. Okay, God warned me personally through the scripture, not in a dream, not in a vision, just through revelation of scripture. Read the scripture. He made that real to me. And now it's happening. I see it happening all around me. And brother, I know it's true. The holy place realm, the supernatural realm, the Christian realm of the supernatural is being defiled by Antichrist spirit. And many, many, many people are following dreams and visions and words of the Lord and different things in the supernatural realm that are not from God. I don't care how right they are. I don't care how scriptural they are. They're wrong. They come from the wrong source. And that's what we're dealing with. That is what we're dealing with right now. And I just pray that the weight of this, the reality of this, I'm getting it through to you. You know, I just pray that, you know, I could get this reality through you, because lots of people hear it and they understand with the brain, but the reality of it is not real. And if the reality of it is not real, you know, you're still going to get taken over by that spirit. It's still susceptible to that spirit. You know, it's got to be something that God's got to make real to you. So if you're getting any kind of witness to what I'm saying, or if you already believe what I'm saying or whatever, just ask God to make it real to us. Make it real to us. So it's part of our walk. It's part of our thinking. It's part of like breathing. Just like breathing. It comes just like breathing. Constantly watching. Constantly watching. Suspicious. A healthy, godly suspicion. You know, nobody's going to take my crown. You know, not me, not myself, not my family, not my friends, not my job, not work, not pastors, not ministers, not anybody. We're going to follow Jesus. And if somebody's in front of you that's been down the road further than you are and has a little bit more light than you do or maturity, it's not wrong to follow them as long as they're following Jesus. You keep your eyes on Jesus. If that person goes off, you'll know. Chip Brogdon went off years ago, and nobody knew it until he put out his book. So anybody else have anything? Anybody want to add anything to that or share? Or feel free, jump on the mic. Now, I know some of you have mics at work. We tested them the other week, remember? That's okay. If you don't want to talk, no problem. I'm not pressing anybody to talk. Did anybody understand what I said at least tonight, though? Everybody got what I was saying at least? Good. Great. Great. At least I made my point. You guys can do with it what you feel. Whatever however you bear witness with it. Anybody have any questions or anything you want to share at all? Anything? Go ahead. You don't have to stay on this subject. Do you want to share anything at all? You got a testimony? Purim says, thank you for the courage. Oh, thank you. You're welcome. It's the Lord. The Lord's put a burden in my heart for God's people. I see so many of them going down. So many of them going down. Stay fast. I'm trying to find me Mike. Okay, good. I hope you find it. Yellow says, that was good, Dan, when you said, even though it sounds right, it may be truth. We must know that there's others among us. That's right. See, the more mature you get in the spirit, the less the devil can trick you with lies, with unscriptural things, blatant lies. Things are blatantly unscriptural. Things are so obviously wrong, like Todd Bentley. The more mature you get in the spirit, the less that thing's going to work on you. He's got to get closer to the truth. He's got to put things in your way, temptations or whatever, that look exactly true, that match your knowledge, that match your experience, that match where you're going. Or else it's a joke. You know, be like Jesus. You know, if he came to Jesus with a fire-breathing dragon, you know, it would be a joke. That's no temptation for the Lord. The same thing with us. Irma says, yes, very good. Receive some new revelations. You are a real warrior of the truth. Thank you. I hope so. If I am, it's the Lord. Then may he keep me that way. Amen. Well, come on now. Hello, Jamie. How you doing? Jamie says, Dan, years ago I was told that Satan could not read our thoughts or minds. I have yet to find a scripture that would support or dismiss it. What do you think? I can't give you a scripture right off the bat, but I don't think you can read your mind, no. However, don't take a lot of comfort in that, because I might be wrong, okay? But it's my opinion at this point that he can't read your mind. But I'll tell you what he can do. He's had 6,000 years to know what kind of person you are. He has 6,000 years to know what kind of people men are, you know? And he knows your weaknesses, and he knows your problems. Now, he can make an educated guess. If you got a problem with, say, drinking, he can make an educated guess that if he tempts you with drinking, you're going to fall, okay? If he puts a thought in your mind about drinking, or tempts you in some way about drinking or something like that, I mean, he knows what's in us. So he plays to those things that are in us that are wrong, that are not in the cross yet, that he knows are wrong. And he can make an educated guess we're going to go for it, okay? And the second thing I remember is almost nobody can keep their mouth shut. And what's in your mind stays in your mind until you open your mouth. And how many people have everything that's in their mind, they speak out. Anything you speak out, the devil knows. He hears our words. So he might not be able to know our thoughts, read our thoughts, read our minds, but he can put thoughts in there. He can put the thoughts in there he knows we're going to go for, based on experience, past experience, and he can hear everything we say. And there's very few people that know one of the crucial things about war, which is keeping a secret. Very few people can keep a secret. They just blurt out anything God shows them to each other. They blurt out whatever they're thinking to each other. Okay, so Satan knows what's going on in most people's minds most of the time because they tell him. Right, straight up, they tell him.